Is that Cynthia Savage standing up?
Yes.
Come down here, would you please? Oops. There's something that I want to give to Miss Savage. And a little while ago, I requested of our home office if they would be willing to extend an honor. I'm going to come halfway down to talk to you. Because Cynthia has been on record a practitioner in the center for over 20 years. Bless your heart. Where does the time go? And I know that you're somebody who has been personally blessed by this teaching and treatment work itself. And so here's a letter from our spiritual leader, Dr. Ken Gordon, who says, on behalf of the entire religious science movement, I'm pleased to recognize you as an emeritus practitioner and congratulate you on this very special day of honor. Enclosed is your certificate. Someone with your distinguished record of service is indeed the model for all practitioners to emulate. You are an inspiration and an example of science of mind principles in action. Suitable for framing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Basically, it means she doesn't have to pay her annual dues as a practitioner anymore. Yeah. There's prosperity. No, basically it means thank you very much. Sometimes we use the expression keeping the high watch, you know, which goes back to Christian science. And that is someone who dedicates their life to mindfulness. That's a contemporary expression, even though it's a Buddhist one. We are Buddhist by nature in this teaching. And mindfulness is what the whole practice is about. That being the case, when one establishes a place in the world that is satisfactory, that is balanced, that is healthy, that is right for us individually, big challenge is how do you stay there? How do you remain there? How do you stay in the flow of good? Well, you know, the good is always flowing. That's the beauty part. There is good all around. And Mary Tyler Moore knew that, right? Love is all around. Why don't you take it? That's the truth. And good can take shape in so many ways, but it is all around awaiting our recognition, and it will be our experience of life until or unless or when we forget to stay turned towards it. I think I actually said this in the center once before, but when I was in divinity school in Kansas City, we would have opportunities to do student preaching in a variety of places, which was great. And there was a place, it was in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, was one. It was a very, very old Unity ministry that had two remaining members. But they kept it open to give students at Unity School an opportunity to practice preaching. And they actually gave you enough money to stay in a motel, which was very glamorous. And as I would drive on occasion to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, which was a very long drive, there were like industrial sunflower fields there. And I mean commercial, corporate, for the growing of sunflower seeds. And when you drive out there in the morning, you know, the sunflowers would be facing the rising sun. And by the time you finished service and had some lunch or saw the site, there's one site to see. There's a Frank Lloyd Wright building in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Then drive home, which was a couple hours, they would be facing the setting sun. Nature knows how to stay in touch with its source and does everything that it can or needs to do to stay in touch. It doesn't need to think about it and doesn't get distracted from it. We need to think about it and we get distracted from our source and from what good is. And living an effective and gracious and prosperous and healthy life is not unlike any other activity that we engage in our world. If you want to maintain your chops, you got to practice, you have to rehearse, you have to write, you have to read, you have to work out somehow every day. This is what all artists do. Your life is the most significant work of art that you will ever give yourself to. And it is indeed a creation. Because your life could be anything. If you don't make any choices, you will have an average to miserable life experience. If you make choices, you will have an average to very satisfactory life experience. And if you are eternally vigilant, you will have a superb experience of life in the long run. This is not magic. It's simply the way it is. And so staying mindful, staying vigilant, watching what comes into your mind, and most of all, watching what comes out of your mouth, is your life's work. And that's why, you know, the science of mind isn't some trick to get. It is a set of practices that we must, I was going to say want to, we must, if we want to have a rich experience of life, we must dedicate ourselves to it all the time. And when we forget, we have opportunities to remember. It's why we gather on Sunday and it's why we have class. There's not much more to learn. Life will be to you what you are to it. That's what Dr. Holmes said. There's nothing else to say about it. But practice is what it is all about. What I so love about our work, and I must continually remind myself of, is that it is this kind of daily work, and it is a lifelong process. And sometimes I wonder, are there any have-tos if one is a religious science? In traditional religion, you know, we've all got all these laws about things that we have to do. You know, I like to cite that in the Old Testament, originally to be a righteous person, there were 613 laws that had to be observed. That's just way too many. And there were all kinds of people that have jobs to punish you if you don't follow those 613 laws. And things have gotten simpler over time for many people, but not for all. But not for all, because there are still many, many people on the planet who suffer the oppression of religious persecution and superstition. Okay. We here are blessed to be free of that. And it is indeed a blessing, and it is indeed a freedom. But once we understand that, once we understand our freedom and what the teaching is, do we have a responsibility to practice that? That's a big question. And there's a... This is a philosophy, and that is a philosophical question. Do I have to be mindful? Do I have to watch my thoughts? Well, no, you don't have to. But you should. You should. One of the things I appreciated in my Unity background was that there were five basic principles in Unity, that there was one, I don't know if I can remember them, there was one reality, there's only one God, one power, and there's God the good, omnipotent, and that is the force of my life. and that all of creation is enfolded in, but not separate or distinct from, Creator, from the one life function. If one wants to improve one's life, you can do that through prayer and meditation. There was something for, can't remember what that is, but the fifth one was, it's not enough to know the truth. It's not enough to know the truth. You must practice it. Now, as hands-off as we are, and we are hands-off, right? Because no one's keeping score. Your life is keeping score about your mind for you. It happens automatically. But there's no individual that's keeping score, and there's no one you have to make confession to about anything. But you don't have to practice the truth that you know. But if you want to experience the results, you do. And so where does that put you? This is my question today for all of us. Because we want to stay in the flow of good. We all want that. And you know, as helpful, honest to gosh, as it really, really is for someone to treat, pray affirmatively with you on any occasion, of course that is salutary. It's therapeutic. It is healing. Unless we assume responsibility for our own lives and our own mind and our own prayer work, we're really not even meeting life's opportunity halfway. We're not meeting it halfway. To truly live a life that is uncommon, I think, and I will say this, I think we do have a responsibility. I think once you know the truth, you can't pretend you don't know it. You just can't. Because life starts working against you if you get into that dynamic. If you really know better but aren't doing better, why would you do that? Well, we all do that. That's part of the human condition. I do that. Not all the time and not in every circumstance. And in many areas of my life, I really am mindful all the time. And I have healed phenomenal issues and dealt with some really large things, all to my satisfaction and my benefit, my personal, professional, financial benefit. And there are other areas that still need work. You know, ethics, this is an ethical practice that we have here. It's not a dogma, it's an ethic or an ethos. Ethos is really, from my point of view, ethos really is the right word to describe what science of mind is. It is a worldview. It's a set of understandings, not beliefs that cannot be proven. Is it proven or proved? Both? Both is good. Proved. That can be proved because they can be experienced. I mentioned last week I'm binge watching this series called The Tudors, which is just filled with archaic middle-age Catholic stuff. And it's been fascinating to watch it. But, you know, we're not asking anybody to explain what the Holy Ghost is. That, you know, we're not, this is not what our work is. Our work is to put forth a proposition and to offer you a set of understandings, an ethos, a worldview. And based on the observation and experience and your working it to the best of your understanding and the best of your ability to see if you are not blessed by that, the worldview that one holds is the way one approaches every area of life. That indeed, if you know that there is one power, what do we say in religious science? What's the first thing that we believe? We believe in one God. Well, we got 14 ministers here, and we don't. What's the one thing, Bunny? Do you know it? We believe in God, the living Spirit Almighty. No, creator of heaven and earth. Oh, I'm all confused. What? What is it? One indestructible self-existent cause. That's what I was going for. And we believe in the kingdom of God is within. Yes. And we experience this kingdom to the degree that we become conscious of it. Okay. That's not a belief. That's an ethos. That is an ethic. That's a guide to your behavior. When we say the kingdom of God, what kingdom are we talking about? You know, I have to admit I've moved on for it because that's old-fashioned Christian language. That's 1500s Christian. The kingdom of God is within. Well, what kingdom is it? I mean, what does it look like? How much gold is there? It is done unto you as you believe. Life will be to you what you are to it. That is the kingdom of God that is within, and that's what you will experience to the degree that you understand that. That this life that you're living is your opportunity to have as much fun as you can possibly imagine without diminishing your health or wholeness or diminishing the life experience of anybody else. To express yourself fully, joyfully, creatively. To have a right to expect health, physical health, and to know, because we've got facts now, to know that the mind is the prime determinant in the state of your physical health. And when we say mind, what do we mean? Your brain? No, your ethos, what you believe about it. Is this a bad world or a good world? It's a generous world. Is life for me or against me? You are life. Some of the old questions don't make sense anymore. It's a fabulous opportunity. Every one of us has an extraordinary opportunity that can begin at any moment. The moment we become mindful all over again about what our worldview really is, and I'm so moved by this, and how much of myself am I willing to give to the creation of my world? And how well am I doing it? You know, see, again, this is very grown-up stuff. Because I will only experience out in my world a reflection of the quality that I put out. It's not the quantity. It's the quality of the ideas. It's the quality of the creative work. This is so critical. I've come to a place in my life where I know that I have to. That my job is to stay in the flow of good. And it is my responsibility as a human being. And I accept that responsibility fully. And that I must be a beneficial presence on this planet. And I must be a creative one. Not because I'm afraid of anything, or afraid of retribution, or afraid if I don't do it in this lifetime, if there is reincarnation, then I'm going to come back as a Buick in my next life and have to start all over again. You know, none of those ideas mean anything to me anymore. The only thing I know is that this is it. And as often as I might fail in some areas, I rededicate myself each time to starting again. As solid as my gains are in some areas, I give thanks for them all the time. And I work the practices that I understand that are recommended in our worldview in increasing ways over time. My God, the resistance that I have had, that I have brought to living with spiritual practice has kind of been astonishing to me, but so be it. The first thing to do always is to take time and treat for yourself every day. If that is only by taking a moment of quiet time for yourself. Well, this is how I started the practice for me. Somebody sent me, this might be new for some people, I have a tiny little bell, brass bell, that a friend in Japan sent me. And every morning, the first thing I say is, I twink the bell, and I say, praise God, good is everywhere. Because I realize I want those to be the first words that I hear in my day. And that sets the tone for my day. If that is the only treatment that you can do at this point in your life, then do it and you will have results. The first thing to do is treat. The other things to do are what? Be kind. Be mindful of who you are and what you're saying. Stay connected to the family of man and to greater creation. Stay connected and be generous. How? With time, talent, and treasure. Learn about generosity. In learning about generosity, of being willing to help friends, of not being stingy with our time, like, all right, I can help you, but this better not take more than 47 minutes. Don't be stingy with time. And give of money substance to things that really matter to you. Our Keys to the Kingdom class is practicing that this week. Really thinking about it, really examining that idea about what are the things that really mean something to me? What do I want to see more of on this planet? Time, talent, and treasure. But it all begins with consciousness. And are you in the flow of life, or do you find yourself kind of sitting at a remote picnic table looking at the river of life flowing by and think, when did that happen? How did I get out of it? When did I choose out? I don't remember choosing out, but maybe you are. So get back into the flow of good. And again, you don't have to. I learned 2 weeks ago a good preacher's expression. You know, you don't have to believe me, but I am right. But you don't have to believe me. I'm right. How do I know I'm right? Because I've lived it. That's how I know I'm right. You don't have to believe me. If you want to start 11 years from next Thursday on getting your life together, you can do that. You can do that. But you can also make a choice right this very second. And in any of the areas that I am not squarely in the flow of life, I choose to get back in. How so? By being aware of it and choosing in. By physically placing myself in relationship to people and activities that mean something to me. And to practice generosity, which is the single greatest antidote for fear that there is. Acts of generosity heal our fear more than anything you can possibly do. This is simple, yes? But it is most demanding. And so let's conclude this. I feel moved to conclude it with a treatment right now. So, speaking as the presence itself, I do know that there is only one thing that is happening, and that is life. And life is continuing to express and expand and enrich all things that can be seen and touched and felt and related to in the world that we live in. And in any area of my life, and in the life of anyone who hears this word, wherever they might be, I choose right now to put myself squarely back into the flow of good. I easily choose to forsake all inferior ideas, inferior relationships and activities. I forsake them, and I dedicate myself exclusively to doing things that are good for me, that are right for me, that are life-enhancing and promoting of health and creativity and love for me, knowing that as I do that, then I will be a blessing to my whole environment. This is the skillful way of living in the world. This is the gift of being human, knowing that there is no thing to be afraid of. I step into the flow of life once again and experience being not only nourished by it, but inspired, supported, and transported into a world that I will call good and very good. And if you are in agreement with the words as they are spoken, I invite all of us together to say, and so it is. Amen.